Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What did he say, people, huh? A little draft day? A little early line? Thursday morning right here, SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. I am joined by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, I'm feeling fantastic. You never ask me. You know that? I ask you, Donnie, how you feeling? You never go, I'm feeling good. How about you? You never ask me. So I'll tell you, Donnie, I am feeling fantastic, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, I would be too after like six straight days off from work, finally coming back with the NBA draft on Thursday night. Right. Must be a nice life you young cats live out here.
A cease and desist will be hitting your door soon, sir, with the slander that you bring forward here. I might power through these 7-7 solo, quite frankly, because I don't like your attitude. As I said, it is draft day for the NBA. The network will have you covered, not just here on the early line, not just on the morning after, not just throughout, but of course tonight's NBA draft special starting at 8 p.m. live from Ocean's Casino. Myself, Coach Young, who will be joining us here later in hour number two, as well as Ben Stevens. Stay dialed in. We'll hit this in about 10 minutes and take a look at the latest news and rumors and how it is shifting the odds board for the NBA draft. But the odds in terms of the NBA are not just draft related in with where this movement is going. Now, honey, we've got new title favorites because the Boston Celtics made a deal and the book went, oh, thank goodness, we can put the Celts right where we want them, which has the favorites to win the title. Kristaps Porzingis makes his way to Boston, but not in the three-team trade that you heard about. The Clippers deal fell apart, and Marcus Smart ended up in Memphis. Please do not tell me that you just found out as I just
said. I did, yeah.
That. Please.
No, I thought it was a three-way deal Brogdon, so I was going to put the M1 Abrams tank logo on the Washington Wizards jersey next year because I have no idea what they're doing. So if you can explain it to the people and me, what is Washington getting back here? Still nothing?
Tyus Jones, they're getting back from Memphis.
Nothing. Yeah, congratulations, Tyus Jones. Nothing. Yeah. Hey, that's breaking news. You know what I mean? Breaks for me too.
What a shoot. Oh, that's a shoot, brother. Oh,
come on,
man.
Like, how'd that deal fall through overnight? I mean, stop the madness here. I had this thing planned when I went to bed last night. Goodness.
I mean, look, it did happen late night. It did happen late night, to be fair. I do think there are maybe some finding out alongside you. Here's another NBA note that came out last night. Chris Middleton declined his $40 million player option with the Milwaukee Bucks. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, adding on that it is still certainly possible that Middleton does end up back in Milwaukee, but clearly going to test the market with a lot of confidence from Middleton that there's huge, huge money out there for his services.
I'll tell you right now, like, Middleton is a very good basketball player, but my goodness, like, if you ever want to grow up and be a professional athlete, be a good NBA basketball player. You took a look at Porzingis, like, oh, he might be forced into his $36 million opt-in here to make this trade go through. Chris Middleton's like, yeah, I'm going to make 40 next year. No thanks on that. I'm looking for more money. It's astounding how much money these high-level NBA players make, and good for them here. If you're able to turn down $40 million and turn that into another treasure chest, my goodness, life is good, Kevin.
I will say, I don't feel like there has been a ton of reporting in that what Milwaukee's backup plan is. I think they're clearly interested in bringing Middleton back, and I'm sure he's interested in coming back, Donnie. But yeah. If there's any messing about, I'm sure plenty of teams would like to bring in Chris Middleton, and where could that leave Milwaukee, the third choice to win the NBA championship next season? We bring our radio audience into the fold here on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh. That's Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM, Channel 159. We also saw Denver get busy a little bit yesterday. They acquired themselves a first-round pick, and a lot of this tied to Bruce Brown. One of the, you know, key contributors to that team's NBA Finals run. He opted, and rightfully so, out of a player option. Now, his, Donnie, not worth $40 million.
No.
His a little over six. Yeah. So now, with the chance that Bruce Brown could get a big-time deal, Denver's going to look for some security in the back end of this year's draft.
Smart franchise, and we were talking about some of these trade moves during the NBA Finals. Like, man, the Nuggets are already on the move. Never can think too far ahead at this point. Outside of Michael Malone getting tattoos and getting hammered on a night-to-night basis, that front office seems like they're already clued in on 2023-2024.
College World Series, Florida advances to the final. They're the favorite now in the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 105, 2-1 on LSU, and plus 220 on Wake Forest. I want to skip ahead here, though, because this Major League Baseball headline is absolutely astonishing. We did this a couple of days ago, Donnie, on the Cincinnati Reds, and it has not stopped. This team is absolutely red hot right now, 11 in a row for Cincinnati.
And by the way, yesterday on the radio, Kevin, on Moneyline, they were down 3-0. It popped up a 2.5 minus 110 here as a team total for the Reds. Thought that was a bargain. By the time I placed that, 15 minutes later, one inning, they had those three runs and they get another victory. This is a fun baseball team to watch and bet. Watch out for the Reds here for the remaining parts of the summer.
Still a big gap, though, between them and the Milwaukee Brewers when you talk about NL Central prices. In one respect, I get it. In another respect, the Brewers, I don't trust, Donnie, to your point right there. And then lastly, Shohei Ohtani. Listen, man, not his fault. Seven innings of work, 12 strikeouts, loss. Dodgers win 2-0 late last night in L.A.
Back-to-back days, 2-0 wins there for the Dodgers over the Los Angeles Angels. Wake up at the plate there because Ohtani was spectacular on the mound, but did we expect anything different? Yeah, maybe this guy did with a little bit less strikeouts, but man, oh man, is he a phenom.
Major League Baseball's home run leader struck out the Dodgers lineup 12 times. that's not even possible. We'll be right back, folks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid. This is the early line. We begin in the NBA. And I think there is reason to just quickly, before we go to the draft, and it is draft day, I do want to circle back to the Kristaps deal, Donnie, because this does have some draft implications, and it is a big-time move here because the Boston Celtics have moved to title favorites. I think in part because of this move. I don't think it's a coincidence that they just jumped Denver. And Kristaps is a supreme talent coming off of a career season. 23 points per game. He was great for Washington, and he could be great for Boston. Maybe there's some health concerns, but in some respect, it feels like that's the case with every NBA player these days. But the big thing is that all of a sudden, the deal changed massively. The Clippers situation falls apart as the Clippers didn't trust the medicals that they got back on Malcolm Brogdon. And it left Washington and Boston in search of a third team. And it ended up becoming a much bigger trade. Multiple first rounders go to Boston as Marcus Smart goes to Memphis. And now Memphis sends out Tyus Jones to Washington. And Tyus Jones is one of the best backup point guards, probably considered the best backup point guard in this entire league. And he is now a Wizard. And that's the draft ramifications. And I'll get to those in a minute. But Donnie, when you see this Kristaps deal here and Boston jumping, albeit slight, but still to title favorites, what's your reaction?
It sounds about right, because when you were looking at the Boston Celtics last year, and sometimes you can use the Phoenix Suns, you know, as a counterpart here, are they a better basketball team today than they were before they made the Kristaps Porzingis trade? Absolutely, Kevin. So if you're still one of the better teams in the NBA, one of the forefronts, you're going to put them to the leader because it's a new, exciting team. And also keep in mind, Kevin, The FanDuel Sportsbook doesn't pick who wins the NBA championship. It's also based on the betting markets. So immediately when Porzingis goes to Boston, and what do you see? Jaylen Brown still on the team and Jason Tatum. That's the worry, right? Oh, you made a deal for Porzingis. Well, what'd you give up? Jaylen Brown, is he going somewhere? Is Jason Tatum going somewhere? No, they're not. So now they have their own big three on a team that was already thought of as one of the best teams in the NBA. Just from an odds perspective, it makes sense now, Kevin, that they are the leaders in the clubhouse at FanDuel to win the championship next year odds-wise.
For Memphis, it does feel like they gave up a lot, but they could afford to, quite frankly. And they needed a guy like Marcus Smart. He steps in as a better point guard option for this team in Ja Morant's absence, and he's a much better version of Dylan Brooks, a significantly better version of Dylan Brooks. So Memphis did well for themselves here. Again, giving up two firsts and Tyus Jones feels like a lot, but you got to give to get sometimes, and that's what Memphis did here. The Tyus Jones thing could potentially impact the draft. The Wizards have the 8th overall pick. Favorite to go there is Anthony Black at plus 185. A lot of people, Donnie, saying, well, now maybe they're not going to draft point guard. Poorly run organizations, you can never say with certainty. But my goodness, if this team allows this deal to impact what they do at 8 overall, then this new regime is already even more of a failure than we could have imagined. Tyus Jones is on an expiring contract. Tyus Jones wanted to go to Washington so he could play starting basketball and eventually get paid. Tyus Jones should not be a Washington Wizard past the NBA's trade deadline, and that's where the Wizards should hope that they can finally bring back a first-round pick, because they didn't do it in the Beal deal, and they didn't do it in the Kristaps deal. Maybe the Tyus Jones deal here. And because, Donnie, at 8 overall, there's a couple of interesting names, but if the Wizards, in a full rebuild, start going for fit, my goodness, that would be an awful bit of decision making.
Yeah, you can't do that. And about time, like sometimes we talk about in the NBA getting on that mediocrity treadmill here, you're not going to be on that anymore. You are a really bad basketball team, and the goal is to be as bad as you possibly can to load up those ping pong balls, because you're right. It's a smart move here. If you are a backup point guard and say, man, I'm getting outshined by a couple players on my own team like Memphis is with Tyus, he's going to go there and get minutes, and then at the deadline move to a winning team, and then he rises to the occasion, hopefully down the stretch into the playoffs, which means he'll have a nice lucrative deal waiting for him. But overall with Washington, it's just crazy though. Like, you had Bradley Beal, you have an asset, you basically get nothing for it. You move Kristaps Porzingis here and you basically are getting something of an expiring contract back. It's crazy because typically you play that Oklahoma City route and be like, well, let me just load up like 9 first round picks over the next 3 drafts and eventually something is going to shake free. I think this is going to be one of those rebuilds that it doesn't turn around quickly for Washington, because also, Kevin, even if you do free up money over the next 1 to 2 years, is Washington a destination city, a true basketball city where these superstars, hey, I'll leave LA, I'll leave Miami to go to Washington? I don't know what the future holds for the Wizards, but it doesn't look good right now, Kevin.
They're going to have to get it right in the draft. To your point, they're going to have to get it right in the draft, which is why if you're sat there at 8 and you're going, all right, we could really use it big. But like, no, you could use everything, Wash. You can use absolutely everything. I want to go back up towards the top of this draft. Victor Wembanyama is going first overall. I appreciate that nobody is even entertaining the, hey, what if? Because we all know what the story is. Again, my favorite bit is probably when SpursTalk.com, I think it was, reported Wembanyama wouldn't be playing in the summer league. It's like, oh, that's interesting that SpursTalk.com has that story. Again, but he's already a San Antonio Spur. At 2nd, we have Charlotte, and at 3rd, we have Portland. And if you look at the latest odds movement, it is Brandon Miller with a lot of strength at minus 650 to go 2nd overall. Scoot Henderson to go 3rd overall is minus 480. And the big tipping point here is, could there be a draft? Logically, DRS, the reason why I am believing this will be Brandon Miller, and obviously the odds are telling us this, because we have to try and kind of work through smoke screens. It makes no sense for Charlotte's smoke screen to be, we're going to draft a player that nobody is interested in trading up for. Now, I know that we kind of laugh about how they're ran, but they can't be that poorly ran that they're going, ha, 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 we're going to take Miller. No, like, you would tell everybody you're going to take Scoot and then trade that pick if that's what you were thinking. I think it's pretty obvious the Hornets are enamored with Miller, a decision, by the way, that is reportedly being made by Michael Jordan, who is no longer going to be with this organization pretty soon. Shout out to the Hornets.
I got to tell you, like, that's where the lead story actually is in this, because we love to make fun of Michael Jordan, the GM, and Michael Jordan, the owner. He's on his way out, and you can't, it doesn't look like a deal that's being held by, like, shoestrings right now. It's pretty much finalized just for a couple, hey, signature here, signature there. But Jordan's going to be in the draft room. Mitch Kupchak is talking yesterday at the podium, going, hey, you know what? You know, we all get together, but it's Michael's decision. And then he adds into the new ownership group, Kevin, is going to be in the room on draft night. But still, Michael Jordan is the decision maker, as if he made unbelievable decisions. And say, hey, Mike, I'm sorry to see you sell the team here. We made the playoffs every year of your tenure as owner. We won three championships. And every year we draft 26th, 27th, 28th, whatever, and you pick gems out in the draft. He is horrendous at identifying talent. And he's going to be the guy that leaves that lasting impact. Now, granted, Kevin, isn't it really hard to mess up the number two pick? Like, Brandon Miller's probably going to be a really good basketball player. So is Scoot Henderson. But it just feels like everybody outside of Charlotte and Michael Jordan's head is going like, they're really going to pass on Scoot Henderson. You got to be kidding me. It's so Jordan, it hurts right now that this is actually going to happen. A guy that will have no business with this team basically in a matter of weeks. Also, the double down, Kevin. The free agent market, yeah, they say Jordan's going to run that as well to see what free agents they're going after. You can't make this up.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, he does, it'd be one thing, Don, if it was like, listen, but he's got a great track record. Like, we hate
yes,
to see him go,
I mean.
But we're trying to squeeze the juice out of it.
Squeeze it all.
It's like, no, he's been, it's like, he's leaving and he's been awful at this. It doesn't make, like, it's the easiest way any team has ever had to gracefully tell a guy, hey, we're yes. good. Like, Mike,
yeah,
we'd love
golf.
For you to make all the decisions.
Yep. Go golf.
But, you're not going to be, though, you know, we might as well just kind of part ways here. Are they still scared of MJ in Charlotte? Like, is the mythical Michael Powers still working on Mitch Kupchak and everybody else in that room? It is completely bizarre. There's a couple of other notes I want to hit here, and then we'll get over to some Major League Baseball recap. We're locked and loaded. It's the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on SportsGrid. Before we move over to anything related to Major League Baseball, I just want to bring up a little mock draft that I put together yesterday, kind of not too late last night, just to get an idea of how I'm seeing things right now. This stuff is going to change, of course, as we get closer, as information pours in. The first four, exactly what the odds are telling you is going to happen. You really don't find many mock drafts, if any, right now that do not mirror Wembanyama, Miller, Scoot, and then Amon Thompson in that order. The tipping point of this draft is the fifth pick and the Detroit Pistons. And it's particularly interesting because Detroit at five has a couple of directions they can go. There's the Ausar Thompson rumors. There's the Jarace Walker rumors. They seem to be a big reason that Cam Whitmore has fallen down the board. But if they trade out, it completely can move this whole draft around. And I wanted to put that on display there by putting Utah up to five, a team that we have heard wants to move up in this draft, a team that is apparently very interested in the Arkansas guard, Anthony Black. Anthony Black is currently sitting on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 11-1 to go fifth overall. And a number of mocks now have Anthony Black going sixth to Orlando. And what we know, Donnie, when it comes to draft day, is teams around the league have an idea of who likes who and where they need to go. And that's a key pivot point there. If Orlando is locked in on an Anthony Black, then the Utah Jazz will know, hey, we got to get up to five if we really want this player. And apparently their head coach, Will Hardy, is a massive fan of Anthony Black.
Yeah, moving and shaking in the draft, something we see just about in any sport here. Let me ask you this question, though, because obviously Wembanyama, a generational talent. There's tiers to this draft. Then we had the arguments there, Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson at 2 and 3, depending on where they're going to go. Just fill me in there on number 4. Is there a level at number 5? Are there multiple guys that will be jockeying for with organizations with different thought processes on who actually should be number 5? Is that going to be an exciting pick? Because, again, number 1, we know who it's going to be. 2 and 3, somewhat building, but by the minus 650 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we're anticipating Miller. Talk to me about number 5, the possibilities of how many teams can get there and who actually should be there. In your opinion, that's the best pick.
Yeah, so I think if Detroit is staying, the Ashaun Thompson rumors seem to be kind of trending and winning out, and he's currently even money, plus 100, to go to that 5th overall spot for Detroit. But they have been heavily, heavily linked to a Jarace Walker. Again, it's funny, though, Donnie, a week ago, every mock draft had Cam Whitmore here. In terms of the tier of player, it does seem like the NBA views the top 4 and then a drop. And that's why a team like Detroit would be willing to trade back. If you view 5 and 9, that same range, why not get back and pick up a couple of extra assets in the meanwhile there? It's also very interesting for Orlando, if you're sat at 6 and you want Anthony Black, do you move up one spot in order to make sure you don't get jumped? I feel like that's a big NFL draft thing more than an NBA draft thing, but it is something to keep your eye on. But what Orlando does at 6 becomes super fascinating. Do they just respond by going with Ashaun Thompson, or do they completely change things? Do they get on the phone? Could they surprise people with a pick you don't see coming at 6? Jarace Walker's plus 100 to go 7. That is what I am expecting there. At 8 is where I put Cam Whitmore to the Washington Wizards because, as I said, the idea that they have Tyus Jones and that's going to influence their decisions, it shouldn't, but it might. And they might feel even more inclined to just say, you know what, Cam Whitmore is the most talented player in this draft. That's the direction we're going to go. Taylor Hendricks should be landing somewhere in this top 10 at 9 to Detroit. Makes a lot of sense. There's people who think he could possibly be a sneaky pick at 5. Getting him at 9, it's a win-win. The last thing here, Donnie, that I want to mention, though, is at 10, I had the Hawks move up to 10 with the Dallas Mavericks to come take the Duke big Derek Lively. And this is just another key kind of indication point here. Nobody thinks Dallas is drafting at 10. Nobody thinks that they're going to be actually on the clock and making that pick, which makes betting this really difficult because Derek Lively makes friends for Dallas, irrelevant. Oh, I think Koulibaly could make some, irrelevant. Everything is suggesting Dallas is going to be looking to shift this pick, Donnie, there, which of course is then going to lead to a ton of uncertainty at 10 overall. But Derek Lively is the favorite for a reason. He seems to becoming a real hot commodity here because in terms of the big men in this draft, Wembanyama on a whole nother planet, Derek Lively in kind of his own little tier, and then it's a big drop-off once again. It's not a great draft for bigs.
I like it. I like what you're breaking down here. And tonight, 8 o'clock, it all gets fired up and starting. Now, we are going to go a little bit later in the show. I love this fact that JY is going to come on with us because I need to see some draft bust. I need to hear about some high risers, guys to watch out for. I can't wait for all this talk here, Kev. It's good stuff.
Yeah, JY will be joining us in about an hour's time here to fly through all of this information. But what we've got coming up next, of course, little Major League Baseball spotlight here, Donnie, between two teams in the NL West, which is the San Diego Padres and the San Francisco Giants here. And to just pick it up from last night's action, because these teams have now been involved in a bit of a series, it was a 4-2 win for San Francisco. Was there anything specific that caught your eye? Bob Melvin tossed in the game, arguing catcher violations and things of the nature there. Anything interesting for you?
I got to tell you, you hit the nail on the head right there because we were at the initiation of the Buster Posey rule where apparently you can't be anywhere near the line if you're a catcher and everybody was sliding in safely to the plate regardless if the throw beat them by 5 minutes to the plate. We got away from that for a couple years, but now it looks like basically on back-to-back nights, we're getting the reemergence of this stupid rule here. There's blocking the plate, which means, hey, look, the ball's nowhere near me. I'm going to put both of my catcher pads down right in front of the plate. You can't slide or hit me. You're going to be out automatically. That was a major play last night where a run ended up scoring when it probably shouldn't have. But having said that, the Giants are absolutely red hot. The couple previous games there, you couldn't have a lead big enough for the San Diego Padres. But a big-time game this afternoon. What's first pitch here? East Coast time, 3:45. So 12:45 out on the West Coast. This is a good one today. I can't wait to break it down.
So let's then dive a little bit into this game here at DRS between the two NL West squads. Blake Snell's got the ball on the road, and he's about a minus 125 favorite here on the FanDuel Sportsbook against Alex Wood. The total for this baseball game is 8.5, maybe a tick higher than I would have anticipated here. When you go through these two lineups and you go through these pitching profiles, what's jumping off the page to you?
First month and a half, you take a look at Blake Snell. Man, what's wrong with this guy? This guy was a Cy Young candidate. I mean, he was supposed to be one of those linchpins in that Padres front rotation that was supposed to be able to dominate. Where has he been? Well, how about the past month in Major League Baseball? Let's go back to May 25th with a start against the Washington Nationals. 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run. Next game, 6 innings pitched, 0 earned runs. Next game against the Cubs, 6 innings pitched, 0 earned runs. 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run. By the way, that was against Colorado. In Colorado. Last game he started, 6 innings pitched against the Tampa Bay Rays. No earned runs here. And how about this performance, Kevin? Back-to-back outings for Blake Snell, 12 Ks. He's on fire. He is the guy today that is going to break up that win streak here for the San Francisco Giants. Snell is going to get the victory. I trust him more than Wood on the mound. Therefore, I trust the Padres more than the Giants today.
Blake Snell, because we have some SGPs for the people, but I don't want to blitz through them because, you know, we'll set those up in just a moment, Donnie. Blake Snell is fascinating to me. He has had such an up and down tenure, it feels like, already in San Diego. Blake Snell, of course, his kind of final swan song in Tampa Bay being pulled in the World Series. Maybe the wrongest I've ever been immediately. I was doing a live, in-game live during that moment, Donnie. You'll hate this, by the way. They pulled Blake Snell, and I live bet Tampa Bay. I was like, it's a great move. Oh, I love that move.
Man.
And then they just got immediately shelled, and they lost the baseball game there. But is it Blake, look, like, again, kind of raw numbers, DRS, 3-6 record, 3.48 ERA, oh, it's fine. What do you think about kind of Blake Snell? Because he's got to be a big part of the San Diego team moving forward here. Look, this team's trying to battle back. 35-39 is ugly. It is, especially for their expectations. But they're certainly one of those teams that's holding on to the idea of, hey, it's a long season and we've got a long way to go.
You got to start somewhere, and it's better to be better now than it is. Hey, man, he had a great first three starts. Now he can't find his way. Kevin, he's basically in the last month of Major League Baseball given up 2 earned runs and routinely pitching into the seventh inning. Take a look at his analytical numbers. Let's again just focus on the last 30 days. 116 batters he has faced, which include only 16 from the left-hand side, 100 from the right-hand side. Look at these splits, an 050 ISO power number and a 214 weighted on base percentage. To use the numbers that we like to take a look at, ISO power number for a pitcher, 170 or less. As I just said, he's an 050, 325 or less from a weighted on base percentage, a 214. He is absolutely on fire. And correct me if I'm wrong, San Francisco is a true pitcher's ballpark. He should be on fire today. Back-to-back 12K performances. Are we looking for 12 again? No. I don't know about that, but a double-digit strikeout performance, that's not too far-fetched. He's dealing, and he's been that effective over the past 30 days.
It's not back-to-back 12 strikeout performances is a bit outrageous. And that's prime Blake Snell, though, right? Like, yes. That's what I don't want to say accustomed to, because, again, that's never kind of the expectation for a player. But Blake Snell is flashing some of that greatness here for this baseball team now over his last 5 starts and could be a swing factor for him. We're coming up against the break. We come back. We get you these SGPs here as well as some of the other doings from last night's action on the baseball board. It's the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball breakdown right here on the early line. What do you say, DRS? Do we deliver it to the people? They've been begging for it. It's what everybody shows up for. Some same game parlays. Padres, Giants, Major League Baseball, give it to them.
Anger. Anger is where your boy DRS is this morning. Yesterday, I was live on the air cheering on a same-game parlay I thought was a shoe-in, Kevin. Yesterday, it was the Blue Jays. Moneyline, hey, fantastic. 5-0 start. And they're knocking out Alcantara. And why was that important yesterday, Kevin? Because I needed him to stay under six strikeouts. For some reason, he stayed until the seventh, picked up two Ks in the seventh inning, and I lost that. So forget about the Jonathan Marchessault's where I just need Vegas to win the game. They win by 100 goals. They score 100 goals, and he doesn't score a goal there. No more games. Mm-hmm. I understand. This is a baseball game. No more games being played today. Manny Machado is going to get a base hit today. Fernando Tatis is going to get a base hit today. And the Padres are going to break up the winning streak here for the San Francisco Giants. When that happens, and I expect it to, Kevin, a plus 180 price. No more games, Kevin.
Serious. Shout out to it. By the way, shout out to that Blue Jay game, though, because they posted a 6.5. I mean, come on, we weren't even in Wrigley. How dare they post a 6.5 on a casual Wednesday for the people? By the way, little same game parlay here, Donnie. How about Zig and Zag? When you go on the FanDuel Sportsbook and the parlays are not correlated, you get a little bit of an odds boost here. So on a positive side, Tatis 2+ bases. He's coming off of his first no-hit game in a while. He has been absolutely on fire all of June. I look for that to continue here after going low yesterday. But also an alt under of 10.5. I like your breakdown, Donnie, on these pitchers, specifically Blake Snell. And it pays out at 2-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook here for Tatis 2+ bags and an alt under of 10.5.
Yeah, we're not playing any games here today, Kevin. I know there's serious business on the table tonight in the NBA draft, but this is serious, serious as it gets here with my same game parlay, and it's an afternoon game, so I'm going to be driving down to Atlantic City. Hopefully, by the time I'm halfway there, we're cashing in this ticket here. I believe that, again, no more games. Serious. No jokes. Serious.
No jokes. Folks, Donnie's not laser-focused serious at all times. Yep. I feel like many people do say that about him. Now, as we get to some of the action yesterday, some might want me to follow the order. No way. There's no way there's a wrestling pun headline, and you don't want me to start with the Big Red Machine. Now, you might say, oh, that's the Cincinnati Reds. No. That's Kane. And that's exactly, I imagine, Donnie, what you want to start with here, which is the Cincinnati Reds winning 11 consecutive games. I know that their lead in the NL Central, it's not massive, right? It's 1.5 on Milwaukee. But I'm not a Milwaukee believer, and I know you aren't either. The offense is bad, and they're unserious when it gets to the deadline. I think they're more likely, and this isn't a joke, they are more likely to trade Corbin Burns than they are to add an all-star level talent. How much more are we going to need to see from Cincinnati to get this team much further up the board here? Look, right now, you've got plus 115 on the Brewers, plus 350 on the Cubs, and then plus 360 on the Cincinnati Reds.
We're expecting like the rookie wall, it feels like, right? There's way too many young players in that Reds lineup that are batting way above their pay grades, as we like to say. But is that really a fact at this point? Do we know? Like, Ellie De La Cruz comes up, and he's still raking at the plate. There's so many players on this team, which I think the fact of the matter is, Kevin, when you look at the Reds, you always used to think, oh, that's Joey Votto's team, and yeah, they got a couple prospects, Eugenio Suarez. Boy, they can hit the baseball, but they always stink. Not the case anymore. They moved on from those veteran players to let some of these young guys come through the system, and they've been absolutely effective here. They just won their 11th straight game, Kevin. 66 years ago, they won 11 straight games. Think about that. The Big Red Machine, they won championships in the 70s here. They even won a championship in 1990. I mean, this is an organization that back in the day was used to winning, so it's kind of surprising that they've been that long without winning 11 straight games, but this is one of the things where the ownership group has to step up to the plate. They have to add at the deadline here. I don't care if they go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak. It's going to happen. It's Major League Baseball. Believe in this young team and continue to add with them because they're winning without household names right now. By the end of the season, Kevin, you might be looking at a lot of household names on that team. They're fun. They hit with power. They're fast. They're athletic. This is a team that you want to get behind, bet and watch, Kevin.
Absolutely. And I don't want to, I shouldn't turn this into a Milwaukee thing, but they're relevant here. When you look at the odds on the NL Central board right now, plus 115 Milwaukee, as I said, right? Cubs plus 350, Reds plus 360, St. Louis is plus 470, and then the Pirates are 19-1. Is it slander that Milwaukee would be the last team I'd bet in this market? It doesn't mean I think they have the worst chance to win. But when you factor in everything plus price, the Brewers are by far the least attractive option right now in terms of NL Central odds.
They should be, but if there's, and again, there's no pedigree for winning World Series this year for the Brewers, right? But when you're saying to yourself, okay, the Cubs really weren't set up for success this year, now playing good baseball. The Reds, you didn't know what you were getting out of them, and most likely, you thought you would get a bottom feeder in that division. The St. Louis Cardinals, so talented, still can't put it together, took a loss yesterday, and then the Pittsburgh Pirates, you're not really believing in anyway. It's almost like you're saying, well, hey, the Brewers, they do have the frontline pitching if it sticks around and stays healthy. The Brewers do have a decent bullpen if they keep it together there. They do get sometimes clutch hitting. That's why they're the favorite here. Nobody wants to believe in these teams. Oh, the Reds are more likely to lose 11 in a row than go on another 11-game winning streak. That's why you're getting these betting odds. But you're right. Milwaukee Brewers, they're such a boring baseball team. It's like, hey, they have to win every game 3-2 or 4-2. That doesn't sustain long enough. That's the way I believe in them. I can't get behind them here to bet. They're just too boring. I'm rooting on teams like the Cubs and the Reds here to get it together.
But by the way, you know, meanwhile, as that's an 11 win streak for Cincinnati, they only just narrowly have the longest win streak in baseball. Shout out to the Giants, who we just got done talking about too, with that 10 game win streak there.
Yep.
I have to talk about Ohtani. I don't know if there's anybody getting Ohtani fatigue. I'm not. Not when it's this incredible. Not when it's this outrageous. 12 strikeouts against the Los Angeles Dodgers, DRS. As we've talked about here, it's runaway style with the AL MVP. It's minus 500. For perspective, Acuña Jr. in the National League is minus 130. I mean, think about where we were basketball, right? And I know it's a close race throughout the season, but Donnie, look, think about how long it took for anybody to get to a minus price. I mean, it was the end of March, really, before we started to see big pricing on Joel Embiid. We're not even at the midway point here this season. And Ohtani, again, it is a health-only question, seemingly, here for him in this market.
That's it. And also, when you take a look at health, right, let's just say Ohtani has a shoulder impingement where he's going to miss 2 months pitching but can still bat. He's probably going to still end up, Kevin, around 50 home runs here and still have that pitching profile, even if he stops pitching on June the 22nd. That's how impressive that market is. But in case he just misses the entire year, yeah, he's probably not going to be the MVP. But my goodness here, sometimes we just root on things to happen. Let me just see this full season play out. Let me see his ERA drop below A3. Let me see him hit 53 home runs and try to put that on the pantheon of the greatest season to ever happen from any Major League Baseball in the history of baseball. That's what we're possibly setting ourselves up for. We deserve to see it. And then, as I say, if Ohtani wins the award this year, right, and let's just say, Kevin, 50 blasts and under 3 ERA, and next year he hits 265 with 36 home runs and a 3.25 ERA, we go, man, what's wrong with this guy? He's MVP last year, not the MVP. What? I mean, my goodness, he should be, as long as he stays healthy, Kevin, MVP every single year, except if somebody does something record-breaking like hit 75 home runs next season to edge you, which apparently the, you know, FanDuel Sportsbook is probably going to bump up Vladdy for hitting 75 next year.
Oh, I missed the Vladdy Jr. race.
There were good ones.
The only thing with Ohtani, and I know I do this every time we talk about him, but I don't care because I think it should be the biggest story in baseball until it's not a story anymore. Do you think Ohtani is playing so well that the Angels simply can't trade him because of how crazy it would look? Or would you go the other way, Donnie? And it's like, we literally will never, ever get a big, like, there's never going to be a bigger trade in baseball history. Like, the team that would trade for Ohtani can't even be like, well, hold on. Like, we don't even, I mean, this guy might be a free agent. Like, you would be trading a guy that would have 4 months left on a contract and still get the biggest return in the history of Major League Baseball.
And also, you take a look at the factors that, you know, go into it. If you're another Major League Baseball organization, do you even pick up the phone and call? Of course you would want Ohtani. What's the starting price? And the best part about that is, Kevin, it's like, hey, man, his contract is manageable. He's got 6 years left there at about $25 million a year. It's That's a no-brainer to do it. It's like, move 7 of your best prospects and maybe 2 or 3 major leaguers. So let's just say it's a 10-to-1 deal. And then you go, all right, Ohtani, what do you want? $95 million per year over 10 years. It's almost, Kevin, he's so good, he might have to stay in Los Angeles with the Angels. How crazy does that sound?
I think actually that's a really good point, though, is This will sound wild. Is giving yourself the best chance at a World Series this season worth everything it would take to give up Ohtani without certainty he would return? And that's probably what they would have to evaluate in the room across the league. Usually the answer is yes, right? Like, no, let's use the Phillies as an example instead of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. It's going to bother me, so I'm not going to bother with them. Donnie, the Phillies, right? And their prospect track record. You find out that the Phillies just gave up their five best prospects. They've got Ohtani, but there's no guarantee Ohtani's going to re-sign. Who cares, right? You just do that move, and you become favorites all of a sudden in the National League.
And we talk about prospects all the time. The Phillies made a couple big moves in the past, what, 10 to 15 years, getting Cliff Lee. They traded like their top seven prospects. Everyone stunk worse than the next one in the lineup. And also made moves to get Roy Halladay, traded away top prospects. All of them stunk more than the next guy here. Forget about the prospects here on the market. You go for the talent. But also, the reason why I brought up the Yankees wasn't we'll do the whole, well, we can't trade Volpe and Dominguez for Shohei Ohtani. Not even that. Pull like an Aroldis Chapman, where you move him over to the Chicago Cubs, then you sign him in the offseason. Could you be that crazy as Artie Moreno going, watch this. I'm going to get 10 baseball players, then I'm going to offer him like $1.1 billion over 10 years to come back. Now we have 10 prospects and Shohei Ohtani back into the fold. You could do that, but the risk of him signing back with the team he just left, probably slim to none at that point, but there still are options like that, and it has happened in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it has on that scale, but I get your point. Yesterday, anything else?
Who was
that
it?
Really
Torres they got, by the way? Who did they get for World? Was it Gleyber Torres?
Was Clint was Clint Frazier part of that deal, or was that of the White Sox?
I just want to make, I think you just want to make Clint Frazier part of every deal at this point because it just fits.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was the Gleyber deal. Remember when Clint fought it? Baseball yesterday. I hate the Yankees prospects, man. What do you want? What else yesterday on the baseball board caught your attention?
Philadelphia Phillies yesterday getting rained out. That's a big series coming up here. Not a doubleheader today, though, Kevin, by the way. Just a single game. They're going to make up that doubleheader in September. But how about the Mets and the Astros? 18 runs down in Houston. Didn't see that one coming. And the Mets, come on, man. You scored eight times and you still lost. That's terrible.
The Mets thing is, I think the Mets are like, I think they've won 90% of their games where their starting pitchers go six innings. But yet they're sat here at 34-40. Remember when the Mets were they were the poster children for great pitching. And now it's they just nothing. Just absolutely. But they have Scherzer and Verlander. The whole poor Tyler McGill isn't getting the job done for the New York Mets. We're going to stop over at the Travelers Championship.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live at the Travelers Championship here. I'm Kevin Walsh. That is Donnie Wrightside. And we are underway. DRS and scoring looks like it could be very low. At the Travelers, that was one of the big talking points heading into this tournament, and it was reflected in a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost that did come off of the board, I believe, 7 a.m. East time this morning. Can you let people know what that boost exactly was?
Yeah, took the boost yesterday, tweeted out to K-Dub, see if he was in. He certainly was as well. Plus 170 boost here. That's for Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, and Victor Hovland, each to shoot 69 or under in round one. Keep in mind, just like similar to the U.S. Open, a par 70 golf course. But we had Dubs Anderson on with some videos yesterday, Kevin, and he was basically saying, get out the pinball machine here because this thing should go low, low, low. And that's something I'm interested in here. Have my golfers play well day one. Cash in. Don't worry about the finish.
And the one thing with, just to put like add that perspective, their round scores that were posted, you know, late last night, not a single golfer at a 70.5. So they didn't, they don't post, I don't think all, 160 golfers, whatever it might be, but I think it's 156. The fact that not a single golfer DRS that they were even willing to post was, hey, will they shoot par or not? Like, it's kind of a, we know everybody's going, at least the worst case scenario is they're going to be shooting even kind of situation there. I did get involved with one guy pre-tournament outright, which was John Rahm. Rahm was phenomenal on the final day at the U.S. Open. And there's also just something to the gap that is right now on the board between him and Scottie Scheffler. I know Scottie Scheffler is world number one, but in terms of closing the door and winning a tournament here, John Rahm has just been better than Scottie Scheffler. As you perk up over there with, I know a ton that you want to say, and I don't know if I want to let you say it. But do you want to go ahead? Go ahead.
Yeah. Quick point here. Wyndham Clark, close to 50-1 here at the time we went off. But also, I mean, as Kevin, you told me many times here, Scottie Scheffler, world number one, you can't even pick him out of a lineup. I mean, hey, this is what it is sometimes.
No. Not me. I know exactly who Scottie Scheffler is. Is that true of everybody?
No, you don't.
Is that true of everybody here?
You don't know.
Probably not.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.